Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Yeah, ever since I heard that song on that James Bond movie, For Your Eyes Only, Shayna Easton, God, that has been a great, great song. We've got open lines for you. I'm going to give you a special topic phone number in just a moment. Here's some of the quick stories of the day. Well, authorities have some evidence that suspected terror surveillance information on 5 financial buildings was looked at again and perhaps updated in January, according to a top Homeland Security official. Separately, President Bush has defended the decision to issue terrorism warnings last weekend based on the information. The Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, his name's James Lowe, and the number 2 official at the agency, says that the new surveillance photographs were taken in January of Prudential's financials headquarters in Newark, New Jersey, both interior and exterior, and were simply not old photographs that had been altered or otherwise updated. That's kind of scary, isn't it? He said there's also some strong evidence of freshening of surveillance information from the other 4 buildings specifically named in the terror warnings last weekend. In the Jaf in Iraq, U.S. helicopter gunships and fighter jets pounded Shiite Muslim insurgents hiding in a sprawling cemetery in the most intense fighting in the holy city since the fall of Saddam Hussein. The U.S. military said 300 militants were killed in the past 2 days. The clashes between coalition forces and that militant Shiite cleric, well, we continue to fight. Several Americans died in action. The attorney for Mark Hacking said that he will raise the issue of mental illness and challenge his client's confession to relatives that he killed his wife, Lori Hacking, and dumped her body in a garbage bin. Hacking, 28 years old, reportedly made the statement to his brothers when he was a psychiatric patient in a hospital. His attorney, Gil Athe, says that this creates a substantial issue. Mental illness, mental deficiency certainly will be an issue in this case. Hacking reported his wife missing on July 19th. He said she had gone jogging and never showed up for work. Early in the morning, police found him naked outside a hotel, and he was taken to a psychiatric ward. Scott and Lance Hacking talked with their younger brother at the hospital on July 24th. They said he told them that he had killed his wife while she was sleeping. The brothers then passed the information along to police through an intermediary.
That girl is pretty wild, no.
Well, super freak musician Rick James is dead. At the age of 56, the flamboyant music pioneer Rick James, a dynamic performer, his 1981 dance hit, Super Freak, you're here, came to embody the ruinous excesses of his life. He died in his sleep of natural causes here in Los Angeles, 56 years old. The self-proclaimed icon of drug use, James paid the price for his longtime addiction to crack cocaine in the early 1990s when he served 3 years in prison for assault and false imprisonment. And, of course, I believe it probably took its toll on his body as well. He had been in fragile health since suffering a stroke in 1998 after popping a blood vessel at a concert in Denver. He was in upbeat spirits as recently as late June when he received a Lifetime Achievement Award at a music industry dinner in Beverly Hills, California. Rick James, dead at the age of 56. An Illinois woman reportedly ran over her new daughter-in-law when she was on her way to her honeymoon. A newspaper in Illinois says the family and friends celebrated the marriage of Steve and Kim Stillwell in Sheridan, just outside of Chicago. Now, on the following Sunday, the bride was rushed to the local hospital with torn muscles and internal bleeding after being run over by her mother-in-law, Georgia. Well, this is basically what happened. The incident occurred after the newlyweds went to pick up their children from Georgia's house before heading off on a honeymoon. Well, Steve Stillwell apparently started having an argument with his mother, who then drove off with a child's car seat still in her car. Well, the new bride gave chase, caught up with Georgia. They talked. Georgia then drove away as Kim, that's the new bride, was leaning through the window. She was dragged behind the car about 25 yards. She's very angry, she says, that no charges have been filed against her mother-in-law. A German prisoner in Madrid, Spain, and his girlfriend glued their hands together during a jail visit in an attempt to fight the man's possible extradition to Germany. The pair were taken to a hospital where doctors were considering whether to operate or use a powerful solvent to separate the man's left hand from the woman's right. The glue is normally used in car repairs. The police arrested him. He's 39 years old for smuggling women from Eastern Europe, forcing them into prostitution. Picture this for a moment. The world's hairiest man has had his ear hair removed so he can hear. I kid you not. He's a Chinese, he's a Chinese rock singer. He underwent ear surgery to remove hair that was impairing his hearing. Atlantis, the legendary island nation whose existence has been debated for thousands of years, was actually Ireland, according to a new theory by a Swedish scientist. Now, of course, the Greek philosopher Plato wrote in 360 BC that Atlantis was an island in the Atlantic Ocean where an advanced civilization developed some 11,500 years ago until it was hit by a huge natural disaster and sank beneath the waves. Well, a geographer, Ulf Erlesson, whose book explaining the theory will be published next month, says measurements, geography, and landscape of Atlantis are described by Plato. They match Ireland almost exactly. He says, I am amazed that no one has come up with this before. He says, just like Atlantis, Ireland is 300 miles long, 200 miles wide, and widest across the middle. They both have a central plain surrounded by mountains. I've looked at the geographical data from the rest of the world, and of the 50 largest islands, there is only one that has a plain in the middle. It is Ireland. He believes that the idea that Atlantis sank came from the fate of Dogger Bank, which was an isolated shoal in the North Sea, some 60 miles off the northeastern coast of England, which sank after being hit by a huge flood wave around 6100 BC. If you get a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Look under the feature article that Sean LaDesour has posted called Project Silver Screen. It has to do with something apparently started in 1948 by the NSG, the then National Security Group. Possible connection between debris from the 1947 Roswell crash and drive-in movie theaters. Apparently their theory was that occupants of UFOs were using drive-in theaters to measure the brain activity and emotional response of people who attended drive-in movies. I wonder what the brain response would have been in those days. Well, we've got open lines for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And staying in the subject of our last couple hours on time travel, a special line open for you. For those of you who are time travelers, but what I want to know is what will happen in the next 10 to 20 years. And I want you to share that with us, those of you who are time travelers and you believe you can tell us. That phone number for you is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back, and let's get open lines going here because this is going to be a very fast night. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there, and where are you?
Hey, George, this is Rob in Dallas, hey. Listening on KLIF.
Our number one rated KLIF, by the way, thanks to you guys down in Dallas. What's on your mind, Rob?
Well, remember Gary Patterson was talking about Robert Johnson in the Crossroads?
Yes.
Well, he said something about Dan Aykroyd from Saturday Night went there and got like a 100 pounds of dirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy's selling dirt now on eBay.
No way.
Yeah.
Pure dirt?
Dirt from the Crossroads. What's Mojo or something.
What's it going for?
I don't remember. It comes in a guitar slide. You know, it's pretty neat. Package nice.
They'll sell anything, won't they?
Hey, they're going to try.
You got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
How about that guy who's selling water from the Loch Ness in Scotland? He's making a small fortune. First time caller line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. I'm so happy to hear from you. Excuse me. I have a cold, so I sound a little bad.
Nothing worse than a summer cold.
Oh, boy. But what woke me up, I went to bed and I was feeling so bad, is the guy that was talking about... what was it? Oh, no, I went blank.
You mean the guy that I just had on?
No, the guy before him.
There was no guy before.
Benjamin.
Oh, that's the replay from last night's show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Benjamin Krim.
Yes, Krim. I didn't get his last name. Was he interesting?
He was. Fascinating.
But what I wanted to tell you was this summer I took my kids to Indiana, which is where I'm from, and... I'd traveled many a times all my life, and there's one part of the bridge there when you're going into Ohio and Kentucky. And I believe you were talking one night about mounds or something that was around there.
Yeah.
That they had. Well, anyway, my mother and I were in the front seat, and I kept on teasing her the whole way from Florida. And I was telling her, boy, I can't wait to get to that bridge. All of a sudden, when we got there, we just was over the bridge. Is that some type of a time travel or?
Does, and your mother felt
my
the same?
My mother saw it too. She goes, what are you doing? Where is the bridge? I said, we're already over it. And my dad was in back of us driving with my son. And we were in front of him. All of a sudden, he's tied up in traffic. We had no traffic, nothing. And we were already over the bridge. We never even seen it. It's a huge bridge. You can't miss it.
That is weird.
She's like, how did you do that? What did you do? I said, I didn't do anything.
Do you remember driving into a green mist or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. We were talking, and I go, well, we're coming up on the bridge, you know. And she goes, yeah, it should be right here. All of a sudden, the traffic got real thin. And then my dad was like 15 minutes behind me in traffic somehow.
Time warp.
I don't know.
That is strange.
I can't figure it out.
That is strange. Are you missing time at all?
No, but I've always had all kinds of things. I've had the, I call it the rat spider. What was that rodent thing that you guys were talking about one night?
That
I had him
awful.
In here, and I also have ghosts. I've had it all.
You got it. Okay.
So your show really helped me. I thought I was going nuts there for a while.
Now you're not going nuts.
Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Take care of the cold, huh?
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Fight it. One day. One day they'll find a cure for the common cold. I wonder if John Titor ever found the cure for the common cold, huh? Let's go to our time traveler line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi there. Thank you for calling us.
Yeah, this is Bobby Wayne. I was calling about my great-granddad's journal.
Okay, tell me about that, Bobby.
He had some entries about time travel in it.
Do you think he was a time traveler?
I do think he was. He had something about, I think I remember reading about John Titor.
Yes.
I think I saw his name in there once. And it said something about a war in about the next 15 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between nations or something. And I was kind of confused at first because I don't really understand it.
I wonder, well, I don't know. Did he ever talk to you? Is your grandfather still alive or has he passed on now?
No, sir, he passed on.
All right, sorry to hear that. Did he ever talk to anybody in the family about this?
Well, my dad, he said he talked to him a few times about it. My dad thought he was kind of crazy, but I believe him. I think he really was a time traveler.
How do you think he traveled in time?
Well, his journal's kind of, there's just bits and pieces left because it's really an old journal. And it never really said how he time traveled. It just talked about going to different places in time.
And the family never found any machine or anything like that?
No, sir.
So what places did he go? What time periods did he travel in?
Well, one, it talked about 1920, and one, it talked about 2012, and that's really all it had in there. It's really messed up journal.
But the pretty rough future for us.
Yeah, that's what it said, but hope it's not like that.
You still have the journal?
No, sir. Can't find it anywhere.
You mean that's gone? It just disappeared?
It's like it just disappeared, like it came back and got it or something.
My God. You know what? That's a good point. Somebody did. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
And don't forget, this is our time traveler hotline. If you have information about that or you want to tell us about things that you see if you are a time traveler that are 10, 20 years into the future, our future, not yours. 818-817-0021. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Yeah, I have a interesting story on abduction to tell you.
All right.
It was told to me. And then could I ask you on what you're doing tonight, if you could also do a deal on people who have gone to other planets. If some Friday night you could open it up.
We'll save that for another Friday. Not
you
next week, because next week's Friday the 13th.
Okay. Well, the story I want to tell you, it's about a friend of mine. She's a nanny. And she's a nanny to two of Bill Gates' top people.
Really? Okay. All right.
And she herself was a former teacher. So this woman, you know, is straight. And my friend goes back to her home, too, where she was born every year, and sees the friends that she graduated from college with. On her last trip, a friend of hers named Bev told her that she had met aliens. And this Bev is a geologist. She lives in the Siskiyous near Mount Shasta. And she lives far out in the hills. And she told Barb that one night she came back from doing what she does and to her home. She lives by herself, and there were three aliens in her living room.
Just like waiting for her?
Just standing there. Yeah, everything was very calm.
What do they want?
Well, she came into her living room, and she said she wasn't frightened because they were very kind, and she didn't panic. She said they were dressed in silver, and she said their heads were like the pictures that we're all used to.
Yeah, the gray type looking.
That one, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they told her they were looking for a metal they needed to be able to leave our planet. And she told Barb that also in talking to them, and this is the thing that I found fascinating, in talking to them, they said they were not interested in our planet because our planet was dying.
Well, what were they doing here?
Like you said, they were just there looking for a metal that they needed to leave the planet for their ship.
I mean, but they must have come here first.
Yeah,
not
I guess
the metal,
I guess they do all the time.
Well, that sounds like they're pretty interested in the planet.
Well, they just, but in talking about it, Bev had asked him about, you know, if to take over the planet or anything, and that
they said no.
Their planet had no interest in our planet.
What kind of metal were they looking for?
I don't know that. I don't know any further about it. I can ask Barb.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to find out exactly what they were looking for. Fascinating. It's just in the living room. We'll be back in a moment.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com, and you can hear tonight's show over and over and over. Card line at area code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And, of course, our time traveler line is 818-817-0021. If you are a time traveler, check in with us and tell us what's out there 10, 20 years from now. That's all. We don't have to go way out there. 10 or 20 years, that's fine. Among the guests next week, we're going to do a program on Greek mythology, and our guest believes that those Greek gods indeed roamed our planet, and he's got some theories about it. Pretty fascinating, so I look forward to that. I've always wanted to do a complete show on Greek mythology. So let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. This is Daryl on Jet Radio in Erie, PA. How are you doing today?
You're fine, Daryl. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm staying up late reading and listening to your show like I always do. Real quick, I don't want to create a panic, but this mad cat disease thing has me worried. Do you know if you can cook the beef well enough to kill the mad cow disease hiding in the meat?
That's a good question. In some cases, some say you can. I do not believe that you can, because there are prions in there. They're very high proteins that I don't believe get killed off in heat.
You know, it's scary.
I don't eat a lot of meat, but every once in a blue moon, if you get a steak or something, I always have it cooked well. And the you know, the waiter always looks at me like I've offended him, and I look back at him and I go, "Hey, I'm eating it, not you." And one of the reasons why I want it that way, and sure, it probably doesn't taste as good as something medium or something like that, but I just want whatever is in there to possibly get killed off.
Right. You know, I think the Department of Agriculture might be taking this threat too lightly, or maybe they know more than they're letting on, but don't want to take the drastic steps to deal with it because they don't want to destroy the beef market. I don't know, but these images of burning cattle carcasses over in Britain still send a chill up my spine. And as you know, many people might already be infected because I understand that this takes years for symptoms to appear.
Absolutely.
And once the symptoms appear, then it's too late.
That's right. And you know, and who knows how many adults are wandering around all screwed up because of past episodes of this.
Yeah, I mean, they might even have a mild case of it, and they're feeling ill. You don't know.
No.
I mean, this is certainly something worthy of a serious investigation.
Well, in the bottom line here, if they want to start solving these problems, stop feeding animals dead animals.
Wow.
And that's what they're doing.
Have a great weekend, George.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I mean, that our Food and Drug Administration immediately should ban putting any animal parts in food like that that are fed to our cows and cattle. I mean, my gosh. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Dave and Chris for listening to you on JPF 1340 out of Heron.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, last hour you were speaking to this fellow, Mr.
Oliver
Williams, and you were talking about wondering if he had possibly called and talked to back then someone. And I recall a time traveler calling back when Art was just leaving back then and you were just coming on.
Okay.
And this was roughly around the same time that Richard had gotten sick.
Hoagland?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And Hoagland got sick before I came on.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then this is just before that. Then.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this fellow had called up, and he was claiming to be a time traveler, and he said that in his reality, Art was a senator. He was a senator, I think, of Arizona or something like that, and also that about the invasion of the Chinese, that they'd be stopped at a line somewhere, drawn somewhere around Colorado.
Huh.
And that's where the big face-off would be.
Okay.
You know. A question I had for you, though, was that have you noticed in the past 20 years in your life a lot of realities suddenly becoming false, where things that you remember, like someone had died years ago, and suddenly there they were walking around and on TV, someone famous?
Well, I'll tell you one funny one, I guess. It's everybody that I've talked to thinks that Jack Palance, you know, that actor with the hard, rugged face,
right?
That he's dead, and he's not dead.
Uh-huh.
He's you know, you talk about something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone you talk to, you say, "Hey, do you remember that actor?" They say, "Yeah, he died." No, he's not dead. He's alive, very much so.
Absolutely, and that's the same thing I've gone through, and I've noticed it's been like within the last 20 years, this stuff has been cropping up, and the only thing I can figure. Because tonight when we were talking to Oliver, he had mentioned something about the works of the machine having to do with Doppler.
Right.
And do you remember back to the Plainfield deal back in the 80s when they were hit really hard with the tornado?
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
They were just starting then to bring in Doppler radar.
Right. And then TV stations were starting to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we've got one every 100 miles every which way.
That's right.
And it seems like it's been, ever since they turned that stuff on, these things have started happening. Like there's been a warp in between realities. Like one bubble's been bumping up against another.
You bring up a pretty good point, because who knows, with all this electromagnetic stuff we're shooting into the atmosphere, what it's doing to everything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's the only thing that makes sense to me that we've all really been involved with, that's been in our air, over our heads, and in our lives, where we've been saturated with.
My late aunt, who was working into this entire field, was pretty well convinced that there was something very unusual going on, and then she dies mysteriously, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. Oh, would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Before I leave, would you tell Keith in Canada that it's good to hear his voice again, every now and again?
All right.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll do. Keith in Canada, whenever you call, it's good to hear your voice again. Let's go to our time traveler hotline. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, this is John Lippy, 610 WIOD. My question is, have you had Al Bielek on the show in the past, I don't know, 6 months? I tried to
6 months, maybe 10 months ago.
Okay, because he requested me to call him one time. This was back before 9/11.
Okay. I had him on maybe a little longer than that. I had him on, and then he went to the hospital.
Yeah, and, he did, yeah.
And then I guess he's still okay, but he's getting up there in age.
Well, I know. You got to have him on one more time, and when he's on all these shows, everyone wants to talk about the Philadelphia Experiment over and over again. But you got to ask him specific questions. This guy, when you ask him specific questions, he gives you real interesting answers. For instance, I heard a CD. Did you get the CD Michael Halsager put out, that 24 hours of lectures?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, he talked about that we were going to have a war from 2003 to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in 2001 in May, you know, life was pretty normal. There was no terrorist threats. I mean, there were, but not, you know, in the public media. And so I said, Al, how are we going to have a war in 2003 when everything seems so normal? And he said, you know what? By the end of this year, you will see the beginnings of this war happen when Bin Laden and his boys blow up the Trade Center. And I was thinking, my friend had kept telling me about this guy, Bin Laden. I didn't know who he was back then. And I said, didn't he try doing that in 93? That's all I knew about him. And he said, no. Yeah, he tried that, but then he blew up like a four. This time, when they do it, it's going to fall, and both towers are going to fall, and then Bush will send the world into a fussy by making nations choose sides in a supposed war on terror.
And Bielek said this?
Yeah, Bielek said this to me on the phone back in May, August. I hope Echelon has the recording of it somewhere, because it was the most. He told me so many things that happened, and when he told me this, I didn't believe him, because he told me both towers would fall, and that supposed war on terror. You know what? How vague is that? You know, I hate like prophecies that are vague, but he told me that both towers would fall, and that Bush would send the world into a fussy by making nations choose sides in a war on terror, and that we would have a false war with Iraq to get the United States involved in a global conflict. Now, also, with that, I was like, Iraq, are you kidding me? I mean, what, does Iraq have an army? Because, you know, back then, we didn't think about Iraq. And he's like, no, we're going to mop the floor with Iraq in about a month. But then all the stuff that happens afterwards, all the politics and all the people wanting the money or, you know, whatever's involved with the real deal with Iraq, he's like, it causes all these just nations to squabble, which leads to a, I don't know what kind of war he was thinking. He called it World War III on the CD, but it was something like that.
All right, well, that's pretty perceptive on Bielek's part, and I've got to do some homework into that, because if that's documented and it's out there, and, of course, old Al is still around, that might be well worth getting him back on. Thanks for the suggestion. Appreciate it. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. This is Bill from Hopkins, Minnesota.
Hi, Bill.
I'm also calling in kind of regards to the Philadelphia Experiment, and I think I may have found a connection between that and John Titor.
Okay, how so?
I've been reading the Philadelphia Experiment Chronicles by Commander X,
mm-hmm.
and when they're talking about the Phoenix Project, when that was started up in, I think, late 70s, early 80s, before it happened in 83, they were using new computer technology, and they had what was called the Cray series and the IBM 360.
Okay.
And it was said that that was given to them by aliens, I guess, is how it said. And then I'm reading on the John Titor site, and it said that he was coming back in time to get this IBM 5100 laptop, and that...
Well, it wasn't a laptop. It was a pretty big unit at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just that computer.
I hate to put that computer in my lap.
Yeah, sure.
It would crush
your legs.
Yeah.
But the fact that they, you know, say they don't know why he would come back for such an old computer, but that, you know, NASA's looking for old computers as well. And mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe all those early IBM computers may have, you know, been tied together with alien technology or something.
Well, you know, the late Philip Corso said that all that information was given to us by reverse-engineered alien technology, the chips, everything. And Bill Burns is writing a book with me, my very first one, called Worker in the Light. He is the one who wrote The Day After Roswell with Corso. And I cornered him one day, and I said, come on, Bill, I want to know everything about this. And he is absolutely convinced that Philip Corso, late Colonel Philip Corso, was telling the truth. Absolutely convinced. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hello, George.
Yes, it is.
Hi, it's good to hear from you. I've been listening for a whole week now, and I don't know what I did without it.
Well, you're brand new. How did you find us?
Well, I'm a fan of Alex Jones and
okay.
Paul Joseph Watson, and I've heard about your show on their website.
All right.
But I wanted to talk to you in regards to some unusual UFO phenomena that I've experienced.
Whereabouts?
Well, I live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And, well, let me see. For most of my life, and this is kind of hard to talk about because the only person I've ever tried to tell this to thought I was crazy.
So they didn't believe you, did they?
Not at all. But my entire life, you know, I always felt, you know, kind of a weird experiences. Things were happening to me, but I really couldn't explain what they were.
Mm-hmm. I know the feeling.
And then, like, when I was about 5 or 6, I saw the cover of that book, Communion.
But that's Whitley's book, Strieber.
The alien on it, and it just terrified me. And ever since then, I kind of suspected that might be what was involved. And several times as a child, I woke up and I saw hooded figures in my room, which, you know, as a child is very terrifying.
Well, and you never know what they might have been. I mean, some kids would think they were ghosts. They might have been small aliens.
They had those faces underneath the hood.
With the big eyes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, several times I woke up with, like, grass and dirt in my bed. And, you know, I kind of just put it off as thinking that maybe I was sleepwalking or something.
Did anybody ever see you sleepwalk, though? Probably not.
No, nobody ever mentioned it to me, and I've never woken up in weird places or anything. And, you know, it was also the thing, like, I'd wake up with my clothes on backwards or something like that.
Did you ever have the feeling that you were abducted?
I had this feeling, but since I really couldn't put it into words and all that, I just really didn't have a way to, you know, to put it into perspective.
What about being in a spaceship or a craft?
No, I don't have any memories of that. It's just I have the memories of, you know, being, you know, feeling like I'm being watched, or these things are in my room, or you know, just the feeling of absolute terror at seeing a picture of them.
Sounds like they've done a pretty good job, though, blotting out your memory.
Well, I suppose so, but I was wondering if you were familiar with the theory about the Nephilim in the Bible.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, about how it's demonic, and I really believe that. That's my personal belief, that it's a demonic phenomenon.
Why do you believe that?
You
may be right, by the way, but why do you believe that?
I guess it's because I'm a pretty committed Christian, but not a fundamentalist one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very interested in, like, the paranormal and stuff like that, and that's the best explanation I've heard that kind of, you know, brings a resolution between the two beliefs.
Well, I'll tell you, I am convinced that something very strange happened on this planet a long time ago, and it's been written about now. It's in the Bible, and its interpretation, whatever it is, but something happened a long time ago, and we were visited. Fallen angels came down here, aliens, whatever you want to call it, but something happened a long time ago on this on this planet. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's my first time calling you.
Well, great. I'm glad you got through.
Have been listening and calling in since 95 to, you know, Arturo.
Yeah.
And the reason I called, well, I wanted to mention about Al Bielek. He has a lot of great things to say about Venus. And if he's around, I saw
he's
him.
He's still
at,
holding on.
I saw him at the UFO Expo a couple of years ago, and he was fascinating.
Yeah, he is.
In any case, the reason I called, okay, everybody, excuse me, but I was watching an entertainment show, magazine-type thing. I don't remember which one. And they had the report about Jack Palance passing away, and I was saddened. And I remember him doing the one-arm push-up at the Oscars and everything, and I remember shedding a tear. Okay, so, I mean, I remember him dying.
But he's not dead.
Are you sure?
I would bet a lot of money that he's still alive. I'm going to have Sean check for me, if you would. I think he's still alive, man. If he's dead, I will announce it. But I think
was
he's
I in not. Another dimension?
I don't know. You and about a million other people.
Anyway, that's the reason I dialed. And thanks so much for being
okay.
Great, because we needed that.
All right, we'll check into it. I mean, I don't want to kill the guy off, but I think he's still alive. But everyone thinks he's dead. We'll find out. Sean, check into that for me, and I'll do some checking too.
Watch the cars. I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers. Still crazy.